1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. And 51551 is our text number. Pat McNamara. Pat, good afternoon.
Hello, Joe. How are you today?
You weren't, I know you're a retired pensioner, so to speak, from Aer Lingus, but you weren't on the protest last night outside Pascal Donoghue, the minister's family home.
No, Joe.
And what do you think of protesting outside the minister's house?
I don't think protesting outside anybody's home, where they're, I don't know whether he's married. But
he is. According to his biog, he's married with two young children.
Well, the wife and two young children are inside. He mightn't even been there. And you've got people outside waving clap cards or talking about something he did in his work. I don't believe in you should bring the protest to the home. I'll protest anywhere, but not about the pension that is being cut, about the 10% cut in my pension I got yesterday, or in the case of the deferred people, about the 50 or 60% cut that Aer Lingus are imposing on them. But I won't do it in front of the minister's house.
John, good afternoon.
Hello?
Hello, John. How are you?
Hello, how are you, Joe?
What's your second name, John?
John Barrett.
John, how are you, John? You were on the protest last night.
Yes, I was on the protest.
And what will you do next? Because it didn't get you anywhere. Well, a bit of sympathy for the minister, it seems. But what's your next plan?
Our next plan is to close Dublin Airport.
And when will you do that?
We don't know yet.
And how will you do that?
Joe, well, I worked at Dublin Airport for 31 years. I joined there in 1979.
How do you propose to close Dublin Airport?
Yeah, but do you want to talk about the pension?
No, we'll go on to that in a sec, but just the protest is what's in the news. How do you propose to close Dublin Airport?
Joe, I was never a militant person, but a grave injustice has been done to us. I am part of the deferred pensioners, as distinct from pensioners. There are 15,000 involved in this IASS pension scheme. 5,000 active, 5,000 deferred, and 5,000 pensioners. But of the three groups, we are the worst off because we have no protection. And we've been abandoned by the union. And I was listening to the head of the union today. Mr. Beggs is on the board of Aer Lingus.
Well, he's not, and he's no longer on the board of Aer Lingus. He's retired.
Yeah, he just retired. Yeah, well, he was there.
How
for
do you
all
just
this.
Just given that you've now said that you will close Dublin Airport, John? Any idea when, or will you give notice? Will you give 24 hours notice? Will it be a road blockade? Because none of you are in Dublin Airport as such, are you?
No, that's our problem, that we have no muscle because...
So how would you close Dublin Airport?
Well, we'll just protest there.
But you'll block the road or...?
Well, Joe, I was an airport police fireman for 31 years. Mm-hmm. Actually, I showed you around the fire station on a number of occasions when you visited there.
Yep, great group, great group.
Yeah, great group, yeah. I was never a militant person. Mm-hmm. But a grave injustice has been done to us. We have no union representation. We're not part of the pension. We're not protected. The pensioners are going to lose 10%. But we're actually going to lose... I'm going to lose 50% of my pension. Because on 2009, we were transferred from the pensioners into the active group. And thereby, we have no protection.
Joe, can I come back in?
Yes, of course, Patty. I'm just trying to find it, just for travellers.
No, I agree with John that the deferred people are in a terrible situation in that they may have worked for 35 years. They're retired. They were promised a pension in 2 years that would be the pension they deserve, maybe 30 or 40, 60.
And then there was a black hole in the pension fund.
Well, the black hole in the pension fund is a totally different thing because the black hole in the pension fund was there when we were semi-state. And a judge told Aer Lingus a while ago, High Court Judge Roderick Murphy in 2013 told them to plug the pension hole in, or to plug the hole in the pension fund because pensioners like John and myself are contingent creditors in waiting. and that we had to be looked after, and you refused to let Aer Lingus use 400 or 500 million and put them into shares. So at that stage, Aer Lingus should have twigged and put the money into the pension fund, but instead they went for a Section 50 thing under the Social Welfare.
Well, John said that their next plan is to shut Dublin Airport, close Dublin Airport.
Well, a peaceful protest, there is no problem. Once they're not as, and you know how I feel about this, and John probably knows as well, you don't bring the thing home to the minister's house. You protest. I would protest. I already protested at Dublin Airport. I walked from Alsa right up to the hotel when the shareholders' meeting was on.
Yeah, but that didn't close the airport.
No, I shouted as much as anybody else that we didn't want our pensions cut. I spoke to the deferred people. They have a good website up now. They are taking the fight properly, and they can do a lot with those kind of things.
Well, John, let me ask John Barrett. John, is it... Do you take Pat's point? Obviously, you don't, about ministers' homes, family homes, that you shouldn't go to their family homes to protest.
Joe, it's not illegal.
Oh, I know that. I know that.
It's immoral.
As Mr. Paisley said, the Queen's subjects are entitled to walk the Queen's highway. But could I just refer to something about England? I work for the DAA, or I did work for the DAA, and Aer Lingus had lots of employees in England. Their pensions are protected by legislation. Anybody who worked in England for Aer Lingus are protected.
And by a high court, case, yes, I agree with you.
Yeah.
It's done a while ago, and our piece of paper said that the people in England, that their pensions won't be cut because of the high court case, but the UK is in the EU the same as we are. So since all of this sprang from the fact that the European courts told the government that they had to look after the Waterford Crystal workers, the government produced the Social Welfare and Pensions Act 2013. The first two portions that Joan Burton brought in did not deal with deferred with pensions in payment. The third bite she took out of it did. So she legislated to fix Waterford Crystal because it was insolvent. The Aer Lingus trustees tried to claim that the pension fund is insolvent and they had to make all these cuts, including the deferred IAS. The pension fund is not insolvent. It's underfunded. Aer Lingus is not insolvent, so it's a misuse of the Act.
Yes. Waterford Glass won because they were financed by the Unite Union.
Mm-hmm.
No union will finance us.
Waterford Glass won through Europe, and then the Irish taxpayer had to pay the pensions, which is the decision. The Irish taxpayer took the hit for the Waterford Glass pensions, and then we discovered last week that Wedgwood, the company who the resurrected company, so to speak, out of the bankrupt Wedgwood and Waterford Glass, they made €100 million profit, and they didn't take the hit for the Irish pensions. But that's neither here nor there,
Joe,
I suppose.
John,
tell us what happened last night. You assembled where?
We assembled at the church in Fisborough, and we marched to the minister's house.
How did you find out where the minister lived?
Oh, well, that's public knowledge.
Is it? Yeah, I don't know where he lives anyway. And what did you do at the house?
Well, we chanted.
What time is this at?
This is between 7 and 9.
Okay, and what? You were outside his house for 2 hours.
Oh, no, we didn't. We assembled at 7, and I'd say we marched on the road for about, I'd say maybe 40 to 50 minutes. I wouldn't be exactly
You were outside his house for about 40 minutes?
Yeah.
And what was the chant? What's the cry?
We want our pensions back.
Okay. And was there anyone in the house? Was it two young children?
Well, we actually put we put flyers into all the neighbours' door apologising, because it is disruptive, and this is a last resort, Joe.
But it didn't get you anywhere, John. So what's next?
Well, we just have to push on because, all this is streamlining for the sale of Aer Lingus and the DAA, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
Willie Walsh is hovering in the background.
And the Pension Authority has approved proposals to tackle the pension deficit in Aer Lingus and DAA. So that
no, Joe, they haven't approved.
Okay,
they haven't approved any kind of legislation to tackle the deficit. What they've approved under Section 50 is cuts to the pension. And in actual fact, the same act that we're quoting there for social welfare says at the end of it that social welfare legislation makes provisions for the payment of monies from the central fund by the Minister of Finance to the trustees of a scheme in the event of a shortfall in the resources of the scheme. So I'm calling on the government, I'm calling on Labour to use the 330 million plus to put it into the scheme under Part 3 of the Social Welfare and Pensions Act 2013. Would you like that, John?
The thing about the deferred is that a grave injustice has been done to us, and especially the long-term deferred. The long-term, I was there for 31 years. I also carried in 6 years. I was a member of SIPTU also, and I've been abandoned by them. And Jack O'Connor was on today, and Jack O'Connor is like Janus, the two-faced god of mythology.
Okay, we won't get too personal. He's doing a job as well. And his, but the union, your union. I mean, the union that some of you were in.
He is head of the union. I was a member of SIPTU.
I was in SIPTU as well, Joe. I was also in the other union.
Well, then, let me bring Brendan in. Brendan, your quick point, please. 51551 text to John.
Hello.
John Barrett. Yes, go ahead, Brendan.
Hello. Now, I just be listening there to the point he was making. Now, I don't believe in protesting outside the TD's house, you know, where his children are. They could have done it with his clinic. But the main point I heard him saying was that the unions let him down. Now, if I was involved in that protest, I'd be bringing my protest to Liberty Hall. And I'd be protesting and closing down Liberty Hall for a day. I don't think anything will come of protesting outside of, you know, the home of the TD. Although I don't agree with the policy of what they're doing, but not outside the house. I think they should close down Liberty Hall for a day and expose the union, because I think the unions have let the workers down in general.
Okay, well, let John answer that.
Yeah,
Brandon, go ahead, John.
Well, to protest outside Liberty Hall is on the agenda.
Okay. And you're going to close Liberty Hall?
No, but we'll protest there.
Okay.
But it's one of these. You see, there are a number of unions. A number of unions involved. It's not just SIPTU.
So, John, when you say you're going to close Dublin Airport, do you mean you're going to protest at Dublin Airport? Or you, because you all worked there, and obviously and a lot of your colleagues did vital jobs in the airport police and fire service, that you know how to close the airport?
Well, Joe, I worked on the ambulance service and I worked on the fire service, and it would be the last thing I would like to do, because we came from a very,
but you said last night. But you said last night was last resort time. It is last resort time.
Yeah. But the problem with all this protest is that we came from a caring company where customer service was very high on the agenda. Mm-hmm. And both in Aer Lingus and the DA are the formerly Aer Lingus. They were two very good companies to work for.
Yeah.
I must
say that. Okay, yeah, that's sad. Yeah.
You see, sorry, Joe, I just want to let
Brendan,
finish.
Yes.
The whole point of your protest, if I can just explain to you, my belief is if you're having a protest about something, the whole thing is to get the public behind. Now, if you go to the airport, you're going to upset ordinary people, and they're not going to support you. But my point is, again, is to go to them union halls and close them. But if you go to airports, you're going to turn the people against you, and you're going to fail in your protest. That's basically, I think you should consider that.
We don't want to turn the people against us, and we don't want to discommode people.
Well, you will. But
we have to make our mark.
Yes, I understand that, yeah.
And did you consider, John, did you consider, any, many people are in the group, about 100, was it, were there last night?
Over 80.
Over 80, okay. And then there was, is that the same number who were outside the Tarnish's house around the corner in Fisborough / Cabra about 3 weeks ago?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what else, have you other houses on your list?
Well, we've actually marched at the airport.
Okay, but have you other family homes on your list?
Not at the moment.
But surely, you hear people complaining about going to the family homes. And I know you were peaceful and all you did was chant for about 40 minutes. But, like, is it next to go to the family home of Jack O'Connor or Mr. Mueller in Aer Lingus? What's the next? Given that, as you say, we're at last resort time.
Mr. Mueller is leaving on the 28th of February.
Mm-hmm.
He came in and he did the hatchet job and now he's gone.
It looks like the airline is gone as well. It's gone east. It's gone to London. IAG.
Spain.
Willie Walsh.
I think it's based in Spain.
The three of them, I know, the amalgamation.
Yes, well, this is all streamlining for the sale of Aer Lingus and the sale of the DA also. But they are neglecting us.
Okay. Maggie Holland. Maggie, good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon, Joe.
You say these protests are your only option.
Yes, well, we feel that they are at this point. And can I just go back to one point that you made where you said the taxpayer of the country will end up paying the cost.
Well, I mentioned about Waterford,
yes,
Waterford Wedgwood.
And that's exactly a very legitimate point. And that is what we were trying to ensure didn't happen, because we feel that this is not a double insolvency. Our companies are solvent. And in fact, Joan Burton herself commissioned a report from the OECD in 2012. And they said that the Irish government should have legislation that stops employers who are solvent from walking away without any obligation to an insolvent scheme. And, I mean, it isn't insolvent, it's underfunded. And so that's the exact
where's
point.
The,
well,
where's
these employers
the, where,
are
but where's
walking
the, where's
away.
The funding going to come from?
But they have the funding. You know, I mean, the funding that it would take to put us on an equal footing with the active members would not be huge. There's only a small number of deferred pensioners who are actually standing to lose out 50 or 60%. And they could easily fund that. And the legislation that is in place is supposed to ensure that we have the same priority under law as active members. But the employers went outside of that and put a new fund in place. So what they did was...
If that's the case, Maggie, what about legitimate? Was there any way you could legitimately deal with this?
Exactly. We tried our hardest to legitimately, and we still say it is legitimate, by the way, to go to a minister's house. And it's not something I'd have ever thought I would do, but I felt that we had no other option. We asked to be represented by the unions and they refused. We asked the expert panel who was put in place to consider deferred pensioners in their findings. Mm-hmm. They refused. We asked for meetings with Aer Lingus and the DAA. We refused. We lobbied to have ministers see us. They only saw us, by the way, when we finally said we were going to protest.
And why
at their
do you, why do you think why do you but you still went ahead and protested at their house?
We did because
why
they
do you,
refused
why do you
to
think,
have any.
But why do you think this disparate group of between trade unions, consultancy groups, government ministers, corporate bodies like Aer Lingus and the DAA, why do you think this disparate group all conspired together not to meet you?
Well, I don't think they conspired together insofar as it wasn't a conspiracy theory of any kind. All we're saying is that deferred pensioners were not expected to appear out of the woodwork as a group. We were people who had just left the company over many years.
Yeah.
The companies probably saw a way to write off a lot of people that they didn't have to consider.
Okay, and how many deferred pensioners are there?
Well, we believe there's about 5,000, but there's only a small group with over, let's say, 20 years service, and we are the people
they're
who are
taking
being hit
the biggest
hardest.
Hit.
Yes. And okay. I mean, the fact is, we should be coming out of this with exactly the same as the active members, at the very least. Now, I am not saying that anyone is doing well out of this restructuring. Pensioners are being hit by 10% or 20% if they're over 60,000. Active members are being hit, but active members are having a huge fund put in place of the losses they're making. And when I say a huge fund, I just mean it's about five times what's being put in for each one of us who is deferred.
So what's next? What's the next?
Well, I can't say that I know what's next, but yes, the fact is we're being forced into a situation where we have to up the ante. And
closing the airport?
And I have to say, I personally don't like inconveniencing anyone. And we've tried very hard last night to make sure we didn't. You know, we met at 7. We wanted to be down there at the minister's house, you know, by 7:30, 8 at the latest, because we don't want children kept awake. You know, we apologise to everyone in the area with flyers.
But the minister has 2 young children as well.
Yes, and I mean, we had given him
about a year ago the last time I saw him. They're so young that both of them fit on a bicycle with him. That's how young they are. Do you think they were in bed last night?
Yeah, but if they were, I mean, they're hardly likely to have been in bed before 8 o'clock. But anyway, we also had told the minister on Monday that we would be doing this.
Was very upset about it.
He didn't engage with us. He didn't. We gave him ways to get in contact with us. We said we would really like to meet you because we feel now that, you know, this sale is going to go ahead. We feel that there is an onus on the employers to be brought back to the table. And we said, you know, we don't want to put the scheme or our colleagues who still work at the airline or anyone in any jeopardy. We feel that there is money there and that we don't want the taxpayers of this money to have to end up funding something that the employer should be stepping up to. And that's what we asked him to engage with us on. And he ignored us, as he has ignored us all along. Yes, he took us in for one meeting, but at that stage he had already made up his mind.
And what did he say to you at that meeting?
Well, I wasn't at the meeting, so I can't comment. There are other members who are there.
He said, we are where we are, the decision is made, and we can't go back on it.
That's exactly what he said.
I'm not taking his side, but that's what he said.
That's right.
That's the politics.
He was nervous that if he did not sign into law, the restructuring, the Section 50, that it could put the whole scheme in jeopardy and that the scheme could be frozen and everyone would be worse off, which is a legitimate fear that he had. And our point is, okay, we now have the scheme restructured. It has been accepted. But there is, unfortunately, a small group of people who have lost out mightily. Can you bring the employers back to the table and say...
And he said no. He said no.
He just didn't answer it.
Well, he said no, obviously. He didn't do anything about it.
Exactly. He did nothing about it. And
he said the protests...
We intend to march at your house if we don't hear from you. We need you to contact us.
Well, is that a threat? Why would you say that to a minister?
Well, because we're going to
call around your house. Sorry?
Maybe we're naive, but we actually thought that he might engage with us.
Well, is that a threat to say we're going to call around to your house?
I don't see it as a threat at all. I just see it as
why go round to his house?
Because we feel that at this stage, we have tried very hard to engage even with you on this, Joe. You know, we weren't being heard, simply. Hopefully we're now being heard. And I think a lot of the people in this country who, if they knew what was going on,
so Maggie, my point is, what is next? The government have said no. We are. This is their line.
Yeah. Well, we hope that still there will be a force of support for us that will come out because of when people understand what's happening, and some very odd things happening, let's say, in terms of legislation.
But Maggie, now it seems that, the whole agenda now in the last 24 hours, every way you turn, 7 pages in the Irish Independent today, the whole agenda is the sale of Aer Lingus.
That's right, exactly.
So it's bye-bye Birdie.
Absolutely,
the Green Birdie.
Now you've got it.
So that's the end.
But is that not the end of the wall? They're walking away. As you say,
so what can you do?
Well, we hope we can get our lobbying will have some success. That's all we can hope.
What about Pat's point, who is an Aer Lingus pensioner and he has got every sympathy for the deferred pensioners, who left Aer Lingus and DAA and SRT over the years and their pensions haven't kicked in yet in the main. Some of them have a lot of service. Pat said you're going to alienate people.
So the ministers
might be glad to get rid of their quarter share in Aer Lingus.
Well, yeah, I mean, we don't really know what the agenda is in regards to that. What is their agenda in wanting to write off this quarter share? I mean, and, you know, is it at any cost? Is it at the cost of their constituents who are going to literally be living in poverty now? You know, that's the reality of it. Meanwhile, the shareholders and the big, CEO, etc., of Aer Lingus will walk away rubbing their hands all the way to the bank. They've done exactly what they came in to do. They've put in place a restructured scheme that's been accepted. They set it up very, very carefully to make sure there was enough on offer to active members at our expense.
But there was not a chance at one stage that Aer Lingus was going to go under. That was the problem a few years ago. Let me bring John in Limerick, 51551, who's a retired Air Post Police Inspector. John, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. Glad you took my call. Yeah. I'm just calling you in relation to the 10% cut in pension I received yesterday, which I wasn't particularly happy about. Mm-hmm. And some people received a 20% discount, 20% cut in the pension. When I joined Arienta, Shannon Airport, in 1976, I was a part of the conditions of employment was to join the Superannuation scheme and also to try to join the Irish Transport and General Workers Union, which is now SIPTU. They were the conditions of my employment.
Was it a defined benefit scheme?
A defined benefit scheme, yes. Yeah.
Which essentially went bankrupt when the economy collapsed. Isn't that what happened to a lot of these schemes? Underfunded is hardly the word. Unfortunately, and it's awful. It is horrific what people have suffered in terms of their pension plans, be it a private pension plan or be it in a lot of defined benefit schemes held together. They are as rare as hen's teeth now. No organisation will do them. But isn't that the tragedy of it, John?
But you see, when I joined, I went in under certain legislation. And as you know, Arienta and Aer Lingus came from the Department of Transport and Power. Then went into Arienta in 1971, and then further, Arienta transferred over to the Dublin Airport Authority. And now, from what I can gather, that the Aer Lingus has contributed into the pension fund in preparation for the go-on.
No, they didn't contribute to the pension fund. Sorry, it's Maggie.
Yes.
They actually put money in outside the fund.
Oh, I see. Okay, well...
Yes.
Fundamentally,
and they put that money in 5-1 in favour of active people who are still working there, even though many of us who are long service would have had as much, we'd have paid as much into the fund as people who are there, and much more than some people, obviously. And the legislation is supposed to ensure that we get the same.
Maggie, but I think I know the answer. If it is as unjust, which it is, I'm sure, is there the possibility of a legal case?
Well, Joe, yes, there is. There's every possibility, except who pays for it? I mean, we are people who don't have a lot of money. We'd love to take a case. And we are hoping that one of the unions will take a case on our behalf. So far, nobody's come forward, which is very disappointing, considering that we're all long-term members of unions as well.
Okay, Pat McNamara wants to come back in. Pat.
Now,
Pat, your plan is that if the government sell their 25% share in Aer Lingus, which would bring in around $330 million, you say that should be used to help the pension fund.
Well, I saw figures this morning on an email. It said from at the moment to take things over, it will require $129 million from Aer Lingus and $45 million from the Dublin Airport Authority. They were figures I got this morning. Now, I'm sorry I didn't check them up more for you. But on the court case, the retired RASA are collecting money at the moment, and they have senior counsels and people like that employed. They're bringing the active pensioners.
Okay, but I just wonder.
They're bringing a case.
Okay, but I just wonder, John and Maggie, that given that the Aer Lingus clock is ticking at the moment in terms of it being sold, you're running out of time.
Yes, we are. We're very conscious of that. And whether or not there is any obligation on a future employer, if it transpires that there is an obligation on an employer, I don't know. And hopefully, maybe we're not running out of time. If it's the case,
but isn't that one of the reasons why Willie Walsh is now interested in Aer Lingus?
Because
he sees it as unencumbered.
He does, exactly. And when we wrote to the minister last week,
you can be guaranteed one thing: an organisation the size of IAG, even an organisation the size of British Airways, would have crossed every legal T and dotted every legal I on this. They know that it is unencumbered, and once they buy Aer Lingus, Dingus, they will not have the...
Yeah, I agree, Joe, but the only thing we're hoping is that maybe legislation can still protect us. The fact is, legislation is being retrospectively applied to us. When I left Aer Lingus, I had the right to, and now this is getting complicated, to an uncoordinated pension, which I don't know if you want to get into. But the fact of the matter is there was another right that every pension scheme in this country has, and that is that when you defer your a defined benefit pension in under the law, it is subject to revaluation every year.
Okay. But I'm interested...
And let me just tell you one thing. Yeah. They actually amended the Shannon Act. The government amended the act that gave us the right to a cost of living adjustment in deferment, and they took that right away, even though that's the only scheme in the country
Takeovers can happen very quickly, and I know there's deferrals, but the government apparently they've not made up their mind today, but the Aer Lingus board have said if Ryanair and the government, now I don't know if there's a veto on either part from the board's point of view, but if Ryanair and the government say yes, well then it's gone. If the government do turn around, John Barrett or Maggie, this week or over the weekend, they start floating the idea in the Sunday papers that they are interested in selling the share, to get to 330, maybe help Irish Water or whatever. What does that trigger in terms of your protests? Because then it's going, it's disappearing.
Well, I suppose, Joe, we're just hoping that somewhere along the line, maybe somebody who's listening today will say, those people have a right and we should protect that right. Because if this happens to us, it can happen to any deferred pension scheme in the country, and even the ones that are government-owned.
John Barrett, what do you, if the government say yes to the sale, what does that trigger in your protest?
Joe, I would like to get a 10% cut like the pensioners. I would be happy to accept a 10% cut. And just one point I want to make. Politeness, manners and diplomacy didn't get us anywhere. Mm-hmm. For almost 2 years, we had an ultra-polite committee that went everywhere, talked to everybody, and they got doors slammed in their faces. This thing is only recent now. This action committee is only a recent thing. And our Taoiseach and Kenny said this is a great little country to grow old in. I wonder.
And a great little country to do business in, which it is, because they protect the business people at the expense
of you're pensioners. Saying, John, that your protests up to recently have been polite, mannerly and disciplined.
No, Joe, he's not saying that.
No, he said we didn't get anywhere with politeness.
Yeah, we had good manners. We didn't have a protest committee then.
Okay. We had a different committee, and for a year and a half, they talked to everybody. We had a quarter of a million in a fund, but it's not enough. We would win this if we could go to Europe, because there is no justice in this country, and Water and Glass have proven that.
But your next step is to do something at the airport.
Yeah, but we have to exhaust all the legal procedures in this country before we go to Europe, and we can't afford to go to Europe because we haven't the money, and we are fighting two companies. Aer Lingus, the DA, the trustees, and the government. And we would have to pay four costs.
The fact is, Joe, we have a lot of right on our side. We just don't have any money to protect our rights. And at least if we have publicity, which we can be grateful to you for, it's a step forward.
Pat McNamara.
And I hope that somebody who's listening, some journalist, will do an in-depth investigation into what happened, because there's an awful lot of question marks. And by the way,
but one of the things that happened, Maggie, it's no great mystery. One of the things that happened with a lot of pension funds is that the money was invested. It went belly up during the recession.
Can I just tell you something?
Then it was discovered. Then it was discovered there wasn't enough money in the pension fund to pay out. It is an awful tragedy.
But it's what happened. It's not just an awful tragedy. It is actually one of the scheme rules almost put in place this underfunding. Let me just explain.
We've done 35 minutes on this. I'm just coming back to the point. A lot of pension funds invested money in property. Isn't that correct?
Yes.
This office block in downtown Dublin or this office block in London was owned by the Aer Lingus pension fund or whatever. And then suddenly it all went belly up. That's a risk, unfortunately.
But
it's a terrible risk.
Give me the opportunity to say one thing. There is one other reason why this fund is seriously underfunded. And that's because a rule of the scheme allowed that if you left the pension fund before you finished your 40-year service, you became uncoordinated. Now, that basically meant that the scheme had to pay the cost of the state pension as well. You got your state pension plus the scheme paid the state pension to you in cost. Now, that actually cost the fund over and over and over, over many, many years. The fact is the employers use that to finance early retirement and redundancies. They themselves left that rule in place because it suited them, because it meant that the fund paid for early retirement.
I take that point.
They're
now
calling it an anomaly.
Yeah, John Barrett, sorry, I've got to go time-wise, nearly 40 minutes on this. John Barrett, well, what is the time frame on your next protest? When is your next meeting to decide what to do next?
This thing has been revved up because basically due to the sale of
Early. So when is your next meeting?
We're meeting tonight.
Okay, and do you think you will decide on another protest?
Yes.
Okay, do you think that will be at the airport?
No, not at the airport just yet.
And where's next?
Yeah, we're having a meeting and a protest tonight.
Whereabouts?
We can't say at the moment.
Oh, there is a protest tonight?
There is a protest tonight.
Is it outside someone's home?
No, not somebody's house, no.
Well, then, you want publicity. Where is it on?
Yeah, well, we just want a surprise.
Well, hang on, you're not the SAS. Where are you having the protest? Advertise it.
It will be near the Dáil.
Well, it's not where Eagle's Dare. Just tell us where the protest is.
It will be near the Dáil.
Near the Dáil, okay. Maybe the department. Pat McNamara, John Barr, I'm finished at that. We'll come back to it. Maggie Holland and John, 51551. It's 25 past two.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Peter Earle is in Wexford. Peter, good afternoon.
How are you, Joe?
Peter, I'm sorry, I'm looking at your call here. You're a farmer, you worked for 40 years with a private pension. It collapsed. How much did you lose?
Oh, sure, 80% of it disappeared.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Yeah, so my point was that, you know, really we should be looking at legislation put in place that ensures that type of thing cannot happen again.
And did you, Peter, when did you realise 80% of your private pension was gone?
Well, sure, look at it. When I looked
got the letter, what the return
was getting, you know, I'm getting close to that age, and I was, you know yourself, sure, I may work now for the rest of my life anyway, you know.
And Peter, did a broker ring you and say, listen, I have some very bad
news? Not at all. No, you just get your update every year. Yeah. And you have a look at your pension. And
has it regained any of its value?
Well, I assume it's starting to pull back a bit now, you know.
But it's still minimal, isn't it, really?
Yeah, hopefully. Well, I didn't disband it anyway, so just hoping.
Well, there was no point to you at that stage. And if any of you, where was your money being? Now, you would have known from your annual statement where your money was going.
Well, the statements are so vague, Joe. You
know all these pension funds and property funds and...
Yeah, you don't actually know where you are. Now, my particular pension was with Profits Pension, and it was a little more stable, supposed to be stable. That's the way it was sold.
And Peter, what is your lesson in life when you got that word that 80% of your savings had gone down the toilet when the pension collapsed?
Well, it's hard to know now unless you stuff the mattress, you know.
Yeah, I know. Okay.
And that's not exactly the type of message you'd want to be putting out
there.
Are
you on the farm now?
I am.
What type of farming do you do?
I'm a dairy farmer waiting for cows to calve here. So
that's a look at
back
that.
In the maternity ward for another year, Joe.
Okay. And of course, we now know that milk is selling cheaper than water in a lot of shops.
Well, sure.
So I don't think your margins are great, are they?
No, look at Joe. Last year was supposed to be a reasonably good year, and I tell you, by the time everything is paid out, you'd be lucky to have anything left.
I know.
But I mean, I'm not bitching. I'm just saying.
I hear that.
Trying to say is, the sooner legislation's brought in, the better. Younger people coming in, I'll have to be made very aware of what happens to pensions. And to be aware of hard sell, because that's what's happening.
80% of your pension gone. Okay, Peter, best of luck this afternoon with the cows, and above all, stay safe. That's Peter Earle in Wexford.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.